And we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Deep Press Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am your host, Jesse. On this podcast, we're going to have a Reds weekly update, week two of the Major League Baseball season. We are officially 12 games into the season, and your Cincinnati Reds are 6-6 on the season. So we recap the Reds week. Also, we're going to talk about the UConn Huskies winning the National Championship of College Basketball for the second consecutive season. And then also we're going to talk about the NFL Draft. Yes, the NFL Draft is 2 weeks away, and the Bengals will be having 10 picks, and I will be doing a mock draft podcast of that in probably 2 weeks. So the week of the NFL Draft, I'll be doing an episode on Tuesday, and then I will do a day one recap on Friday, and then a day two recap on Saturday. And then the following week, we'll do a whole podcast recapping all of the Bengals' 10 draft picks. So stay tuned for that, because I've been working on the mock draft for about the last couple of weeks. I got it down. I got down who I want the Bengals to pick with the 10 picks of the NFL draft. So I'm excited for that. Okay, so Reds weekly update. The Reds took on the New York Mets at Great American Ballpark last weekend. The Reds come into that series with a 5-3 record. I was thinking the Reds need to at least take 2 out of 3. The Mets came into the series not hitting the ball well, and they came into the series with a 1-5 record. So as a Reds fan, and probably you guys all listening to this podcast are Reds fans thinking, okay, this is a perfect opportunity for the Reds to get a series win, just like they did against the Phillies in their previous series. Well, it didn't start off like that on Friday night, last Friday night at Great American Ballpark. The Reds only had one run in this game, and they fell to the Mets in game one of the series, 3-1. Andrew Abbott was on the mound for the Reds. He pitched 5 innings, allowed 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, and 2 walks. The Reds only had one run, and that was a Spencer Steer home run to left field in the first inning. That was pretty much it for the Reds offense. The Reds only had 2 hits after the Steer home run in the first inning. And the Mets countered with a Francisco Lindor home run, and that was pretty much it. 3-1 Mets. And Edwin Diaz, the brother of Reds closer Alexis Diaz, came on in 9th inning. And the Reds had chances in this game. They had runners on, but Diaz, 1 inning pitch, only 1 hit. He had no hits allowed, 2 strikeouts. Before that, the Reds had chances, but runners in scoring position in this game, in this whole series, the Reds were really, really bad. The Reds left 8 men on base, and the Reds were 0-5 with runners in scoring position. The Mets were 3-11. Unbelievable. And coming into the season, the Reds fielding, it was probably a weak spot on the team, but in this series, it was definitely display the weakness of the Reds' terrible defense. I just don't understand how bad this team's defense is. It is what it is. But sometimes when they make a throwing error or make a miscue in the outfield, it's probably the common sense of like, did that really just happen? You know? So I don't know. It's just frustrating. So the Reds lose game one of the series to the Mets, 3-1. And let's go to Saturday. And let's hope my laptop can load. Please load. Oh, okay, perfect. So on to Saturday. This game was a 4-10 first pitch. And this game had pretty much everything you want when it comes to drama. Okay? And honestly, I was like, the Reds had to win this game, because you cannot lose the first 2 games of the series to the New York Mets. No disrespect. So the scoring got started in the bottom of the second inning with a fielding error by the Mets second baseman that allowed Caliano to score. Elly De La Cruz was safe at first to make it 1-0 Reds. And then with the bases loaded, Jonathan India drawed a walk that scored De La Cruz to make it 2-0 Reds. So in that inning, the Reds had 2 runs, 2 hits, and the Mets had an error. Top of the fourth inning, the Mets get the run back with a 2-run single. And then Nimmo doubled to right that scored both runners to make it 4-2. So in the top of the fourth inning, the Mets had 4 runs, 3 hits. And then the top of the fifth inning, the Mets added a run with an RBI double to make it 5-2. And then the bottom of the sixth inning, the Reds tried to make a comeback, and they did. Stuart Fairchild, pinch hitting, hit a single to right that scored De La Cruz to make it 5-3. And then Spencer Steer and Stuart Fairchild decided to double steal, where Fairchild stole second, and then Steer, running, stole home. And that made it 5-4 Mets. And then the bottom of the eighth inning, that's where all the dramatics happen in this game. So, De La Cruz singled to left that scored Bubba Thompson to tie the game at 5. Jake Fraley to third. And then, with Fraley at third, De La Cruz at first, Spencer Steer up to bat. One out, runners on. He hits a home run to left center that went 400 feet for a 3-run shot. Great American Ballpark going crazy with their 28,000 fans in attendance. 8-5 Reds. And then CES hits a sacrifice fly to center that scored Fairchild to make it 9-5. And then in comes Alexis Diaz. He allows an RBI single that scored Pete Alonso to make it 9-6. But he was able to get the job done. He didn't get the save because he came into the game with the Reds up by 4 runs, so that's considered a non-save opportunity. But big win right there for the Reds. 9-6 comeback W. Let's see the box score for this game. So the Reds had... who pitched for the Reds in this game? Nick Martinez was on the mound. He went 5 innings, allowed 8 hits, 5 earned runs. He walked 1, he struck out 6, and he threw 92 pitches. Buck Farmer, 2 innings pitched, 1 hit allowed, 1 strikeout. And then Emilio Pagan got the W. He had, 1 inning pitch, 1 hit allowed. And then Diaz came in and shut it down in the 9th inning. So shout out to the Reds bullpen. They kept the game close enough for the Reds offense to make that comeback in the bottom of the 8th inning. So a wild win, much needed. So the Reds we'll head into Sunday for the rubber match of the game, looking for the series win. Let's hope my laptop can at least load. Okay, when I started this podcast, guys, this was about, what were going on, year 5 of this podcast. I had the jankiest laptop ever, and every time I was recording a podcast, looking up stats and stuff, man, it took like a solid 2 minutes, and I was just like, like in silent mode with you guys. I was just like, I don't know what to say because my laptop was being so ancient, 1801 on me. It was not a good time at all. So obviously Jesse had to buy a new laptop for other reasons. So I'm glad that this laptop is fast. Okay, so on to the rubber match of the Mets and Reds series. On Sunday, the Reds had Hunter Green on the mound, and let's go to the box score for this one. So, bottom of the first inning, once again, my guy Spencer Steer hits a home run to left field that went 390 feet. To make it 1-0 Cincinnati. They stayed away until the top of the fifth inning. Francisco Lindor hits a sacrifice fly to center field. That scored Taylor of the Mets. That made it 1-1. And then in the top of the seventh inning, Fernando Cruz comes on. Pete Alonso grounds into a field of choice to Ellie De La Cruz. Bader scored, the former Red, who played here last year for like 2 days. I'm just kidding, for like a month. Lindor was safe at second on a throwing error by De La Cruz. And then Stewart went to third. Mets take a 2-1 lead. And then Michael McNeil of the Mets hits a home run to right field to give the Mets some cushion room to make it 3-1. And then the bottom ninth inning, Edwin Diaz comes on. Caliendo hits a sacrifice fly to center that scored India to make it 3-2. But it wasn't enough. Edwin Diaz was able to get the save. And the Mets beat the Reds 3-2. They take 2 out of 3 from the Reds. Disappointing series right there. Really, really disappointing. So let's go to the box score. Hunter Green had, 6 innings pitch, 3 hits allowed, 1 on run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. He threw 99 pitches in 3 innings. Okay, I thought Hunter pitched decent in this game. He didn't pitch bad. I just wish that that pitch count, that 99 pitches can be at least into the 8th inning. But he didn't pitch bad in this game. Fernando Cruz, he got the loss. He went 1 inning, allowed the 1 earned run, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. So not a good outing for Cruz. Pagan had 1 inning pitch, 1 hit, 1 run allowed, 2 strikeouts. He allowed the home run to McNeil. And then, unfortunately, TJ Anton, who's coming back from having 2 Tommy John surgeries, and then he comes back into this game, and then the first pitch, he felt elbow discomfort. And that was such a sad scene to see. And then he motioned to the dugout. In comes David Bell. In comes the training staff. And he was removed from the game. And then, unfortunately, the bad news came this past week that Anton will have to have probably another Tommy John surgery. And it's so unfortunate. That was such a heartbreaking scene. This man has overcome so much. And for him to work his way back after 2 Tommy John surgeries, 2. It's just the fact that that happened again. And all the things he had to persevere. And what I love about TJ's press conference with the media this past week is that obviously he's very devastated, but he was more encouraged than discouraged. And that was really cool to see. And he believes that he's going to come back because he wants to set an example to the young players of the team, or to anyone out there that, you know, this is probably going to be number 3 surgery of Tommy John. And if you guys don't know what a Tommy John surgery is, let me tell you guys. So it's a UCL reconstruction. It's a surgery commonly used to repair a torn ulnar cultural ligament inside the elbow. Yeah, say that 5 times. By replacing it with a tendon from elsewhere in the body. The goal of the surgery is to stabilize the elbow, reduce or eliminate pain, and restore stability and range of motion. This procedure was introduced and first performed by Frank Job, the MD on baseball pitcher Tommy John in 1974, hence the name Tommy John Surgery. Man. Whew. Tommy John surgery is typically an outpatient procedure. This means you can usually return home the same day. It is performed under general anesthesia and may last anywhere between 60 to 90 minutes. And TJ Anton has 2 of those under his belt. And this is probably going to be number 3 for him. So I hope nothing but the best for him. Praying for positive vibes for him. And if he doesn't come back, I still think he's gonna set an example and an impact on the young players in any sport trying to persevere and come back from any major surgeries. But if you guys get a chance to listen to his press conference, then go on YouTube or go to the Reds.com page. it's really, really good. It's really good. Like, I was inspired because his attitude, and I think he definitely leans on his feet, which is very important. The attitude of him staying positive after this, again, after all that work, all the rehab, and then this happens again. He was going to be a big focal part in the Reds' bullpen this season. Not having him and just the start of the season. We're 12 games in the season. 12 games, and the Reds are just piling up the injuries. It's just bad luck after bad luck. So, TJ, hope you get better, and I'm praying nothing but the best, and I hope you do come back, but if you don't, you're still going to make an impact in this world for sure. So, bad series for the Reds. You lose 2 out of 3 to a Mets team that came into this series not playing well on offense. Honestly, the Reds scored 9 runs on Saturday in Game 2 of the series. Other than that, the Reds' offense was pretty lackadaisical, to say the least. 1 run on Friday, 2 runs on Sunday. Really? So not a good series. Okay. On to the Brewers. 4-game set. It began on Monday, and Monday was the eclipse. I hope you guys got a chance to view that because that was such a cool experience. And it is off so well for the Reds. This was before the game. Like, after the eclipse, and the team was taking batting practice, and Jonathan India just chilling in the corner, and the Reds, as always, before games, taking batting practice, all that stuff. India, this was just a freak accident. Wrong place at the wrong time. I guess somebody was hitting, and the ball hits his shin area, and down goes India. And I'm thinking to myself, you have got to be kidding me. Really? We already lost McClain probably for the whole season with his shoulder injury. And it's a good thing the Reds re-signed Jonathan India. But then when I heard, after the eclipse, not even 10 minutes after the eclipse, India gets struck by a ball into the shin area, and he's down in pain. But thankfully, after they were able to get him up, he was able to run a little bit. And he said he was fine, but obviously he wasn't going to be playing in a game against the Brewers that night. And he wasn't out of lineup because of the ball hitting the shin area. It's because on Sunday against the Mets, he was hit in the wrist area. And that was the reason why he wasn't going to play in game 1 of the series against the Brewers on Monday. I think that was the case. Probably. I'm not sure. If he didn't get struck by the ball with the shin, would he would have played? I don't know. But that's what the Reds are saying. But thankfully, India's okay. Thank goodness. All right, Reds, Brewers, game 1 of the 4-game set. Bottom of the second inning, the Reds get the scoring going with a Espinal ground out to short that scored De La Cruz to make it 1-0 Reds. And then Will Benson hits a home run to right field that went 386 feet to make it 2-0 Reds. And then the bottom of the fourth inning, Espinal sacrificed, Stevenson scored, and De La Cruz scored. Espinal the first on a throwing error by the Brewers third baseman. Espinal went to third, 4-0 Reds. Then Will Benson doubled. Espinal scored, 5-0 Reds. Spencer Steele doubled to center. Benson scored. Fairchild scored, 7-0 Red. And then Cagliano scored. I'm sorry, Cagliano scored. Oh my gosh. I've been saying he scored. He singled all right. Spencer Steele scored. That made it 8-0 Reds. So in the fourth inning, the Reds had 6 runs, 5 hits. So you're thinking that the Reds are up 8-0. All right, this game is over. But If you guys were watching the Reds last season, remember when they were playing the Pittsburgh Pirates on that September game on a Saturday night and the Reds blew a 9-0 lead? Yeah, I was thinking about that. I knew this game wasn't over, okay? Graham Ashcraft was on the mound for the Reds, and he was locked in and dialed, looking like a beast the first four innings in the game. And then the Brewers touched him up for three runs in the top of the fifth inning. So 8-3. So, all right, so we're okay. Reds are still up 5. And then De La Cruz connected on a 450-foot shot to center field for his first home run of the season. That made it 9-3. And then the top of the sixth inning, the Brewers scored three runs. The Reds lead us down to 3 at 9-6. And then Justin Wilson comes on for the Reds. And then Christian Yelich, who has been the ultimate Reds killer in his whole career, hits a home run to left field, a two-run shot, to make it a one-run game in 9-8. So you're thinking, oh boy, here we go. The Reds are going to blow another 8-run lead. Here we go again. And then the bottom of the seventh inning, Ellie De La Cruz hits an inside-the-park home run as the Brewers center fielder tried to dive for the ball. It goes behind him. And then I knew as soon as he missed it, Ellie was going to go all the way home. That man has the longest stride I probably have ever seen. 10-8. The 10,000 fans that was at the game on Monday night going crazy at Great American Ballpark. What a moment. And that was like a big sigh of relief because of the Brewers coming back, scoring 8 runs. And then Ellie De La Cruz providing that jolt. Whew, big time right there. And then Alexis Diaz comes on in the 9th inning, pitches a perfect night. He allowed a walk, but that's okay. He allowed no runs. And the Reds beat the Brewers 10-8. Good start to the series. It should have not been that close, but hey, a win is a win, as they say in all of sports. Let me go back to the box score. So Graham Ashcraft got the W. He went 5 2/3 inning, allowed 9 hits, 5 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. The first four innings, Graham was really good. And then the Brewers offense is really good this year. They don't have the pitching because they lost Corbin Burns, and it just felt like they didn't make an emphasis to improve their pitching staff after losing their ace. But their bats are really good this season, so they're more of an offensive hitting team. The Brewers are known in the past of being a pitching staff team. Now they're stocking up on offense. And you saw that in display in game one of the series where they almost came back and won the game. So even if you're up against the Brewers by like 5 or more runs, do not relax because they can come back just like that. All right. Game 2 of the series, Reds looking to take their first two games of the series against the Brewers. Frankie Muñoz on the mound for the Reds. His first two starts as a Cincinnati Red has been fantastic. He's been dominant, but the Brewers did touch him up for 3 runs in the top of the third inning. So 3-0 Brewers. And then the bottom of the fourth inning, Jake Fraley hits an RBI single that scored CES to get the Reds on the board. 3-1 Brewers. And then Christian Yelich continues to be a Reds killer. He already has an RBI single in the top of the third inning. And then the top of the fifth inning, he yanks a RBI double to right field. A 2-run double that made it 5-1 Brewers. And the Brewers gets a run in the sixth inning to make it 6-1. And then the Brewers scored 3 runs in the top of the seventh inning that made it 9-1. And then the Reds tried to at least make the game respectable. Tyler Stevenson hits an RBI double to left that scored De La Cruz and Steer to make it 9-3 Brewers. And then the bottom of the eighth inning, the Reds creeping in back. Rally Reds. De La Cruz hits an RBI ground out That scores CES to make it 9-4. And then Steer doubles to left. That scores Fraley to make it 9-5. The Reds did have the bases loaded in the ninth inning with one out as the Brewers bring in Ortiz. And he was wild with his pitches. But he was able to settle down. And the Reds didn't do anything with that. And the Brewers take game two of the series, winning 9-5. Mutaz suffered his first loss as the Cincinnati Reds. In this game, he went 5 innings, allowed 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, and 1 walk. That's okay. You win some, you lose some. Christian Yelich is just a Reds killer. And so far in the first two games of the series, the Brewers have scored 17 runs. The Reds scored 15 runs. But goodness gracious. When the Reds got up 8-0 the first game, you didn't think the Brewers were going to even total up 10 runs in the whole series. But 17 runs in the first two games? Geesh. All right, game three of the series that took place on Wednesday night. On the mound for the Brewers is former Red Wade Miley, coming back from an injury that plagued them last season. And the Reds had Hunter Green on the mound. Top of the first inning. I've probably said this man's name like 500 times already on this podcast. Christian Yelich hits a 2-run home run to right center to make it 2-0 Brewers off the bat. Also, there was a 2-hour rain delay, so this game was originally supposed to start at 6:40, started at 8:30. And then the top of the second inning, the Brewers scored 3 runs in the inning. So the Brewers player hits a single to left. Reds got an error, so the player went to second. And then another throwing error, this time by left fielder Spencer Steer, that allowed another run to score. And then Contreras hits a single to right. A 2-run single that made it 5-0 Brewers. And then the Brewers tack on another run in the top of the fourth to make it 6-0. And then the Reds finally get on the board. Stuart Fairchild hits an RBI single that scored CES to make it 6-1. And then De La Cruz hits his third home run of the series in the bottom of the fifth inning. That made it 6-2, opposite field home run. And then the Brewers add on a run in the top of the sixth inning on the home run by Perkins to right center that made it 7-2. And that was your final score of the game. Brewers win game three. Hunter Green went 6 innings, allowed 6 hits, 6 earned runs, 9 strikeouts, but no one really cares about that, and 1 walk. Listen, this might be, I don't think it would be a hot take, but I was telling one of my friends this, I was like, Hunter Green may be a bust. Like, this was supposed to be an important season for him this year, a season where he needs to prove himself that he is capable of being an ace on this pitching staff. And there's a reason why the Reds went with Mutaz as the opening day starter. Hunter Green, he has the stuff as an ace, but he's just very inconsistent. And he throws too many pitches. And his control is hit or miss. I think his control so far this year hasn't been that bad. But he's allowing a lot of hard hits. He's allowing home runs. And it's just frustrating to watch because Hunter Green was this phenom star coming in the Reds minor league system. And we thought he was going to be the next star ace. We didn't want him to be another Homer Bailey. I know Homer Bailey has 2 no-hitters, but other than that, and also pitching well in the playoff game against the Giants, other than that, Homer Bailey was meh. And I feel like Hunter Green is leaning on that trend, unfortunately. I don't know, man. I know we're early into the season, but it's just not good so far for Hunter Green. It really isn't. And the Reds offense, man, when it comes to pitching against, when it comes to playing and hitting against left-hander pitching, it's bad. They're really bad against a left-hander. I mean, you can, the opposing team, they could put on and throw out there a left-hander pitcher that has an 0-10 record with an ERA over 11. And he'll probably go seven scoreless innings against the Cincinnati Reds. I'm just saying, it is bad. It's bad. My goodness. Thankfully, the Reds and Brewers, the final game of the four-game series on Thursday, got rained out because of heavy rain in the Ohio region. Thank goodness. So, the Reds are now hitting the road to take on the Chicago White Sox this weekend in Chicago for three games. The White Sox are really bad. They're 2-10. That doesn't mean shit. So that pretty much is setting up for the Reds to lose 2 out of 10 against the White Sox. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, the Reds are in Seattle to take on the Mariners. Late first pitch games. Am I even going to watch those games? Probably just like the first two innings, and then I'm going to go to bed because that's too late for me, and I value my sleep. So, 12 games in the season, 6-6 record. This team is, I don't know what to make of this team. I don't. It's, they're very hit or miss on offense. I feel like the pitching is average, and the defense is just terrible. It's very terrible. And then the offense, like I said, they can't hit against left-handed pitching. So get back to me in a month, and I'll tell you what I think about this team and their outlook for the whole season. It's a very young season so far, but at times watching this baseball team, it's frustrating. It really is. It's not like they're not trying, but it's just some of the time I'm just like, what are we doing? Or it's like, really? Really? Only one run? And you're allowing Wade Miley to have a no-hitter through the first four innings of a game? And this is his first game back since last year? Really? Really? You're gonna let this man do that to you? My goodness. All right, so that's your Reds weekly update. Hopefully next week, it'll be a better Reds weekly update of week three. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, the Connecticut Huskies won their second straight national championship of college basketball, defeating Purdue in the national title game on Monday, 75-60. So congratulations to the UConn Huskies. They're the first team since the Florida Gators of 2006 and 2007 to win back-to-back national championships in men's college basketball hoops. So congrats to UConn. And also, the ESPN did a top 25 early preseason rankings. And the Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball team is ranked number 25. Let me pull that up before I head out. Give me 1 second. I love when they do that. Like, after a sport ends their season, they do, like, early rankings. And it's like, man, can we, like, breathe first? Went through 30-plus games. Like, what are we doing? Oh, also Kentucky, John Calipari is now the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, and now Kentucky is on the verge of hiring Mark Pope, who is now formerly BYU's head basketball coach. Mark Pope was a former Kentucky player, also won the national title with the Kentucky Wildcats in 1996. That was such a weird move, John Calipari going to Arkansas. But he knows people there. He knows a lot of billionaires, I guess. So that has no impact on the Cincinnati Bearcats. So here's the early top 25 men's NCAA rankings of the 2024-2025 season. They have Duke as number one. Okay. They got Gonzaga as number two. Kansas number three. The back-to-back champs UConn Huskies at number four. Iowa State number five. Purdue Boilermakers, the runner-up, at number six. Houston, the Big 12 regular season champs, at number seven. Arizona, eight. Tennessee, nine. Baylor, 10. Marquette, 11. Alabama, making the Final Four for the first time in program history, at number 12. Florida, 13. BYU, number 14. Florida, 13. BYU, number 14, looking for a new head coach. North Carolina, number 15. St. Mary's, number 16. Miami Hurricanes, 17. Auburn, 18. UCLA, number 19. Okay. Maryland, number 20. Rutgers, number 21. Dayton Flyers, number 22. Kentucky, number 23. Oof. And Wisconsin, number 24. And then our Bearcats, number 25. Let's see what ESPN has to say about the Bearcats. It says, Cincinnati has won 45 games the past two seasons, but has yet to reach the NCAA tournament in Wes Miller's 3 years at the helm. Yeah, we know. That could change as the Bearcats should bring back key players in Dan Skillings Jr., Dede Thomas, Seamus Lakosius, Jizzle James, and then Azeez Badengo has his COVID year remaining, which would solve the lack of a true big on the roster. Bearcats have two ESPN top 100 recruiters in Tyler Betsy and Tyler McKinley also arriving to bolster the rotation. Here's what ESPN has as the Bearcats projected starting lineup. Dede Thomas, Jizzle James, Dan Skillings Jr., Seamus Lakosius, and Josh Reed. Wait, hold up. That is if Azeez says yes to the extra COVID year eligibility, which I believe he will. So Josh Reed will not be in the starting lineup. No disrespect to Josh Reed, but he just should not be in the roster to begin with. So I'm looking forward to next season. We'll talk about next season when the fall time comes along. But I will do a podcast recapping this past season, the highs and the lows, and the early look ahead into next season as well. So be on the lookout for that podcast. That will probably happen after I get done with the NFL draft and all that stuff. All right, that's pretty much it of this podcast edition. Like I said, the mock draft podcast will be on the week of the NFL draft. So that podcast will probably be out on Wednesday, and the draft is on Thursday. And that's on, I believe, the 25th. Yeah, the 25th is the NFL draft. So that podcast will be live on the 24th. And then that Friday, I'll do a day one recap of the draft and the Bengals first round draft pick. And then Saturday, I'll do a podcast recapping day two of the draft. And then the following week, we will do a full draft recap. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for this podcast. And what, you guys want me to, like, give my condolences to OJ Simpson because he died on Thursday? Great athlete, great player in college in the NFL. But homie did kill two people and then beat the living shit out of somebody for his memorabilia. So I don't really have any sympathy. I'm just saying. It's been a weird start to the 2024 year in general. Everything in the new month, like in January, February, March, April, it's like, what's going to be next month? It's just crazy. So, yeah, when I heard the news about OJ Simpson dying, I was like, oh, so is the Reds and Brewers game going to get postponed today? All right, so that's it for the podcast. I appreciate you guys always listening to this podcast. I appreciate my day zero followers, and I appreciate my new followers. As always, if you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, give it a review, leave a comment. It doesn't matter. I do appreciate just you guys just clicking on it and listening to it. We've come a long way. We've come a long way. And like I said, I genuinely do appreciate you guys. I would not be doing this if it wasn't for you guys. I really wouldn't. So love you guys. And turn on your post notifications every time an episode is released. Every time I tell a couple of you guys, okay, like, we didn't see the podcast. And I'm like, okay, go to, if you have an iPhone, turn on the post notifications. There should be a notification tab when you click on Spotify. Come on, people. I'm not going to call out who you are, but I'm just saying, kind of am. But just turn on your post notifications whenever a new podcast episode comes out. Okay, I'm out. Love you guys. Have a great weekend, and I will talk to you guys next week. Peace.